All righty. Today's date is what, March 6th? Is that right? Yeah. Last week we went over what we wanted to come up with as far as subjects and issues we wanted to delve a little deeper into. I believe I wrote some of them down in an email that I sent out, but I guess the main one, or some of the main ones, were in regards to Internal Revenue Service, remedies in regards to our grand juries, of course, abatements, and then also living as a sovereign soul on the dry land, and that included several of them. Several people had suggestions. I guess Joe was one. I don't see him on tonight. Was wanting to know how to vote without using a voter's registration. Also, traveling was mentioned, how to cross state lines, borders, etc., functioning as a sovereign soul on the dry land. And a big one was, we had talked about, how do we actually live? How do we earn a living without, how do we start a business? How do we deal with bank accounts, et cetera? How do we live on the land and use or not use their numbers? All right. Tonight we're going to start off, I guess, I'm not running the show here. Of course, we're all doing this together. I only had one email from the group last week in regards to somebody stepping up to take control of one various section. Of course, that was Joe, who wanted to get into the voter stuff, which, I don't know, I kind of look at that as we've got two farms here, and we're sitting over here with a bull, a goat, a lamb in our pasture that's just as big as the one over across the fence, and they've got one bull, they've got tons of sheep, they've got a lot of goats, they've got all the chickens, etc. I don't know why we want to deal with that side of the farm when we're trying to deal with our stuff here. But anyway, that was one thing that Joe was interested in about voting without voter's registration, because, frankly, my dear, I don't care what goes on over there.
I concur.
Well, that came up because my question about voting for the sheriff. If we can't vote, how do you vote for the sheriff? I don't care about any of the other stuff.
Okay. I got you there.
Yes.
That was my question. If you can't vote because you step back into their ground, how do you elect a sheriff?
And okay.
I was going to do the thing on that.
Okay, gotcha. All right.
Now, I thought you could still vote. Would you not be able to still vote?
Well, I think that's what Joe was saying, voting without having a voter's registration, because when you do a voter's registration, that's just you're re-signing a contract.
Correct.
Haven't so all of the counties been incorporated into Columbia?
Hey, we got somebody who's washing dishes or something. If you could mute out if you're not talking. Go ahead, Brian. Or Mike, was that you?
That was me, Mike Blass. I was just, adding a comment. And isn't it true that all of the the counties have been incorporated into the District of Columbia? So if you are voting on county sheriffs,
the county sheriff has an obligation to protect not just the citizens, but those on the land in the county. So, I believe all have been incorporated into the District of Columbia, but he still is the top law enforcement within within the county, for us. And so I guess that was the issue of how do we vote for a constitutional sheriff? That's what was brought up last week with Joe's interest in voting without voters registration. And then as Gina pointed out, you know, the main thing was voting for a sheriff. We didn't really care about those other frauds, but
Hey, Chuck, how about somebody defining an abatement, and let's get started.
Okay. All right. Well, I sent out four attachments to everybody. We've got the instruction page, and we have some samples, 1, 2, and 3. I had asked a question, I believe, before the recording, but I'll ask it again. How many of y'all actually have gone through the process of doing an abatement? Anybody out there? I know the Johnsons have. Anybody else? Okay, I have. And I believe...
Linda's in the process. Linda Martin is in the process of getting hers done.
Okay. All right.
Now, other administrative procedures would not be considered abatement, correct? Such as notices... conditional acceptances and notices of fault and notices of default and whatnot, that's not considered an abatement.
I don't believe so. Chaplain Raymond, can you answer that question? Chaplain, are you there?
Brian here. Sorry,
hey, Brian.
Hello, everybody.
We're just getting into the discussion of abatements. Brian, have you done an abatement?
I did do the abatement, and about a month ago I did the default judgment part. So, yeah,
okay.
I did both processes.
Okay. Chaplain Raymond, are you there? I see him on, but he must be muted out. Has anybody had a chance to read over it? Or actually, those that have done the abatement process, do you have any experiences or ideas on what exactly, in your mind, you're doing by going through the abatement process?
Oh, for me, this is Brian again. I did my abatement thing, and I sent the stuff to the judge and the prosecutor and the chief of police of Round Rock. And I think in doing that, or maybe doing the second part of that process, got me on some kind of watch list. But I'm not too worried about it though. It's just a kind of a delay tactic that they're trying to, I guess, intimidate me. But I'm not nefarious in any way. It just takes up more time for me to travel by airplane, unfortunately.
Yeah. And you had a great experience with that.
Well, it wasn't great, but it was an experience nonetheless.
Well, Chuck, I've done a little research, and an abatement is some kind of an annulment. It basically stops some action on the part of the, quote, de facto, because it's a higher form of law or something like that. Does anybody really know what the definition of this is?
Well, to abate something means to get rid of it. Because when you say, like you got a mess to clean up and you cleaned it up, and then you would say this mess was abated. So this would be the same with what we're doing. We abated their mess.
I don't think I heard that last word. You abated what?
We abated their mess because they're trying to draw us into their mess, but we abated it under using the common law method that they can't really interact with, and they can't do anything about it, and that's why they're going to put you on some better watch list, I guess.
I thought that was Molly.
Does it actually stop their suit against you or their legal process against you?
I think so, because they can't proceed because you didn't give them any jurisdiction, because you didn't go to their private corporate courtroom and you didn't give them jurisdiction, so they can't do anything. And I haven't verified to see if there's an arrest warrant out for me, but I never did go to my appointed court date that the de facto tried to draw me into. I just did the abatement process, and when I get back to Texas in a couple of weeks, I will make a phone call and see if there's any kind of arrest warrant out for me.
Okay, so does an abatement exist in common law? Is that where it is?
It's a common law process, is what, to my understanding.
Yes, and it is a common law process.
Okay, and is that where you got it, Chuck? Is that somebody looked it up in the common law and followed the process?
Yes, and if you read through the instructions and the abatements, what it's doing is saying, okay, we've got your papers here, but we don't know what to do with them. Correct all these things. You send it back to them. You're asking them to correct it because the paperwork is defective. And they're supposed to go through that and send it back to your general delivery address.
That's providing that they can interact with you, but since they are a private corporation, they cannot interact with a flesh and blood living sovereign man, so they can't respond to your process. So they're going to be an automatic default judgment 30 days later because they can't respond to you. It's my understanding.
Okay, did somebody do this in response to some effort by show to cause you pain, or you just do this to put it in the records?
No, I did an abatement process because I was arrested because I was driving without a driver's license, without the license plate, and without the registration, which is my God-given right to do so, but the de facto does not like people who do that, so they will arrest you, and that's what they did to me. They arrested me. I spent a night in jail. I got out. I had to post a bond, but it was a personal recognizance bond. I just had to pay the $60 filing fee for their bond, and the judge let me out. But before he let me go, he made me sign a court appearance document, which means I was to go back to court 6 weeks later. So as soon as I got home, I started working on the abatement process, and within 2 weeks, I sent it in to the judge, the prosecuting attorney, and the chief of police of the city who arrested me. And I let all three of those entities know that I won't go to their private corporate court until they get their paperwork in order. But they can't get it in order because it's your name in all capital letters. Well, they can't interact with you because our abatement process is telling them that we are the flesh and blood living human being, and we are not the corporate fiction name that they are trying to attack. And until they address the flesh and blood living human being, we're not going to go to their court. But they can't address the flesh and blood living human being because they are a private corporation. And a corporation, that means they are a dead entity, and a dead entity cannot interact with the flesh and blood human sovereign man or woman.
Okay, we have information that the first abatement is mentioned in the Bible. It's when God placed the cherubim at the gates of the Garden of Eden and kept Adam and Eve from getting back in and eating of the tree of life. So he abated or stopped them in their tracks. Is that your understanding?
In which part of the chapter and verse is that in the Bible? I can look it up.
It's Genesis, probably about chapter 3.
I'm sorry, you broke up chapter what?
Chapter 3, it's right where the cherubim, the angel, stopped Adam and Eve from getting back into the garden. That's the first abatement mentioned. And is that what this is based on?
Well, that's hard to say because in the Bible it probably doesn't talk about any kind of paperwork. It probably just talks about the spirit.
But it gives a definition.
Okay, I'm looking for authority. That's what I'm looking for. Where's the authority for this?
The common law.
Just like in the
Well, an abatement comes from the superior court, your superior court. That's the common law process. That's the authority.
Because we, the people, created government, therefore our court is superior to theirs. They don't want to believe that and hear that, but that's what it is. It's God given. Go ahead.
Yeah, in the when we're answering papers, for example, in the Texas Rules of Civil Procedure, I have it right here, Part 2, Rules of Practice in District and County Courts, Section 4, Pleading, Rule 85, Original Answer, Contents. The original answer may consist of motions to transfer venue, pleas to the jurisdiction in abatement, or any other dilatory pleas of special exceptions of general denial and any defense by way of avoidance or estoppel, etc. An abatement is an answer in their civil procedures.
All right. Is an abatement statutory?
Statutory is de facto. It's not the common law.
I have the Black's Law, 4th edition. Would you like to hear the definition?
Sure.
Please do.
Under actions of law or at law, as used in reference to actions at law, word abate means that action is utterly dead and cannot be revived except by commencing a new action. Cause of action, destruction of cause of action. And
that sounds powerful.
Abate, to throw down, to beat down, destroy, quash. That's abate. A reduction or a decrease or diminution. Diminution. Something like that. It's quite expensive. There's
That makes sense.
But that's what it says in the 4th edition.
My a few definitions that we've picked up from just reading over the papers that I sent out. It says, it is an error for a de facto officer to presume we are 14th Amendment citizens. They presume they have jurisdiction. These presumptions can be rebutted with an abatement. Common law action that deals with real people, not corporations. Abatements are used to get errors corrected. The final portion of the abatement gives the de facto officer necessary instructions on how to correct the errors and perfect their papers. It's a common law remedy for erroneous papers that you've been served. They're not my papers, and they have errors on them. That's just a few things that we picked up from reading over the documents on this procedure.
Right, and they can never interact with us, so they'll never be able to correct their deficiencies, so the abatement is rock solid.
Okay, Chuck, we have to be careful with hearsay. Now, the governor the other day, or James Wright, said that the abatement was a tool that would pretty much answer all the other issues, or most of them, that we were wanting to discuss in these forums. So it's really critical that we get down to the nuts and bolts and basics of this, and where does it stand, what is the definition, and then do we have to use it every time we go outside, you know.
Chuck, I have a couple of paragraphs here to read that might kind of touch on a little bit of this.
Okay.
If that's all right. It says, what is an abatement? It's taken from the French word abateur, the Latin word abateuri, whatever you want to call it, both meaning to beat abatement. In its simplest terms, most means to beat something down. When discussed in terms of finances, abatement is the beating down or lessening of debts or taxes. also known as a tax cut or tax relief. An abatement is a helpful measure used to reduce the amount of taxes or debt a party must pay on his or her personal property, business, or inheritance. An abatement can help a financially struggling party or organization that is unable to meet financial obligations. The next paragraph says, an abatement of debt and legacies provides protection when a person dies and does not have enough money left in his or her estate to meet any financial obligations. If a person files for an abatement of debt or legacies, the estate's executor then asks for leniency in meeting the debts, interest payment, tax amount, debt totals can be abated and lessened to help the estate meet the debt or obligations. IRS penalty abatement is often authorized to help citizens meet their IRS tax penalties, providing the taxpayer made an honest mistake. The IRS is often willing to grant penalty abatements in order to allow the taxpayer to pay back the penalty over time. Often the IRS will ask for a valid reason for the incorrectly declared taxes, as long as the substantial proof of the explanation is provided, and penalty abatement offers a chance to meet obligations without enduring severe financial hardship. And there are several other abatements that you can ask for, but I'm assuming that the abatement, you know, can be used in pretty much any legal filing that comes our way. So here it is showing basically where it is coming into play with the tax IRS filing.
With all due respect, 90% of that discussion was de facto information.
Correct.
And we're not okay, so there are abatements that exist in the de facto legal system, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about something outside of their private law. Is that correct?
Yeah, their jurisdiction.
That sounds like they've usurped the term and redefined it for their own purposes.
Okay, is that something we have to be careful of when we use the term abatement? They do recognize it, evidently.
But when we use it, we use the term common law with it, I believe, in our paperwork.
Okay, I'm looking at the paperwork, but is that right, Chuck? I don't see it in here.
In the paperwork itself, let's see.
Well, it says on the internet.
Okay, here it is. It says, this is a plea in abatement issued pursuant to common law rules applicable to such cases.
Exactly.
That's in the introduction.
Yeah.
So we have to tie the word abatement to common law for it to be the one we're talking about. Is that right?
Okay. What happened to the
I'm sorry, we got a lot of noise out there. If you're not speaking, if you could just make use of the mute button, and I believe it's *6. Thank you. Abatement.
Cliff should be on any time now.
What was that?
Cliff should be on any time. Oh. Kathy's on. Cliff should be showing up any minute.
Okay. All right. I have a definition here. It says, abatement is a common law process for people on the land who are being sued by a foreign court. A foreign court is the de facto. is anything that's not, of course, on the land. Just because they are corporate doesn't mean they are invalid. It's our status to the corporation that determines its validity.
Okay, I think you just reiterated that we do have to be careful that we are talking about the common law abatement, not the de facto abatement, because they have the same term, and they could make us on that word.
Oh, yes. When you go, when you look and open up the, say, example one that I sent out, it says Superior Court, comma, and whatever your county is, Texas. The Superior Court, each of us individually, we are our Superior Courts. We went through this process with my parents' issue with the IRS. We've done this for Greg's issues also. I believe the Johnsons did this in regards to a traffic violation.
And for my arrest also.
Yes.
Thanks to Greg. Brother Greg helped me out a lot on that one.
Okay, and not to be nervous, Nelly, but we have to recognize that the military power is in the de facto, and they can totally ignore lots of things. How does this stop them in their tracks? I mean, do they recognize the Superior Court?
Well, this is a... like Chaplain Raymond always says, making the record. We, of course, do not have the force or the enforcement, but this is the – we're asking them to follow the law.
Okay, Chuck, why do they stop doing what they're doing? Are they afraid of violating some honor or rule in their own venue, or
I can't
are they
answer
afraid?
I don't know why we haven't heard anything. You know,
okay.
I don't know what stops them. And apparently, they haven't stopped on Brian's issue. I don't know what's going on with the Johnsons' issue. But we went through several things in regards to the Internal Revenue Service, and this abatement just happened to be one a portion of it.
Chuck, I have a question. Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I was doing some research as far as what an abatement was, and I came across a site that talks about non-statutory abatements. Would what you're speaking of be considered a non-statutory abatement?
Yes.
Thank you.
This is not in the... in their realm. This is a common law process.
Okay, Chuck, I'm looking through example one, and maybe we could go through this. I don't know, but you have these statements like mark my words and mark first, and your papers do not have on their face my full Christian appellation. Can you speak to that?
I can't. I don't really wish to. I'm not that smart.
Chuck,
I
just sent you a link to a common law abatement that explains what an abatement at law and the nature of these abatements are, which is very educational if you want to share it with everybody. It's from the Utah Free State.
Okay.
And so it looks like a very good educational area.
Oh. Chuck, what was that question again that gentleman asked?
Breaking the abatement down, going through each the wording within, say, for the first example, as mark my words, and then we're going through each.
Each item.
Mark there. Comment. Yeah, I would love to do that. Chaplain Raymond or the governor, y'all on here? I'm sorry, James. I can't seem to hear Chaplain Raymond. James, are you on here?
Yes, I just came on.
Oh, okay. We're just trying to get a little structure here. We've been going, trying to figure out the definition of an abatement and what the process is, but we're wanting to look and break down the individual marks that are listed in the abatement example. It was suggested to go through that. And I do see Chaplain Raymond on here, but we can't hear him. So.
Okay.
We do have a lot of interest in the abatement as far as exactly what it is. It is a common law process. It's asking them to correct their papers. Then Brian had some good information for us, too, on that. Now, there are several of us on this call that have gone through the abatement process, and it's hard to say if it was the abatement that has stopped, for example, my parents' issue. I mean, it's a combination of things, but we just do not know exactly what. But all an abatement really is asking them to correct their papers and then send it back. Is that correct?
Yeah, and I have another deal here. I didn't put out because I've given it to some people and it just caused confusion because it was more to be used in the de facto courts. But there's a little paragraph. This is written by a law professor, and most people when they go into the de facto courts, they deal in special appearances, and they say we're making a special appearance. And he makes the point. He says, under emergency powers, this is a false doctrine. Today in the de facto courts, you're under emergency powers, or what they call, it's not martial law, but it's martial rule. And it says there is no remedy under emergency powers in challenging a court's jurisdiction except by abating its process or its procedures first. Abatements are not a challenge to a court's jurisdiction, merely a good faith attempt to correct errors in process. In other words, correct the errors, judge, and I'll appear. And he said, special appearances fail when a judge knows what he's doing. Now, this is in the de facto courts. Under martial rule, judges do whatever they want, whenever they want, so long as he or she does not alarm the public or disturb the peace.
Well, are you saying within the de facto, if we were to go into the court and we presented an abatement, then he could do it at that point, but us being outside in common law and we send an abatement from common law to that, or it doesn't even go to the court, it goes to the individual.
Yeah, an abatement can be used. See, there are statutory abatements as well. An abatement is simply the court, let's say, sends you a a ticket, a traffic ticket. Well, really what it's doing is it's presuming you're in contract with them, that you have a driver's license, okay? So they're operating on that presumption. And an abatement is just simply saying, I am not saying I do or don't have a driver's license. I'm simply saying if you say I have a driver's license, provide the proof of claim, you know, provide the contract that I signed with the wet ink signature. So you're accepting their presentment. If you're looking at it in commercial terms, you're accepting their presentment with conditions. Just like somebody says, you owe me $500. Instead of denying, I don't owe you $500, you're saying, I may owe you $500, but I'm not saying I don't. I'm just saying, please present me with the note that I signed or the document that I signed stating I owe you $500. In the commercial realm, it's very similar to a counterclaim asking for proof of claim. Does that make sense?
I think that was a good explanation. Governor, we kind of covered some of those things, or James,
okay.
I should say. We were going to go through the example one and help each other understand some of these terms and things
yeah.
like that, and we were hoping that you or Chaplain Raymond would be able to define some of them.
Okay.
Will you do that? With
sure. I'll just as much as I know. I'm not an expert on this stuff, so I'm like a lot of other people. I've had to do it. So I'll be glad to chip in when I can to help out.
Okay. We do note on the third page of example one. It starts out with comes now and private Christian. Grateful to Almighty God, et cetera, et cetera. This document is founded on common law or Christianity or something. Now, can you explain that a little bit?
Well, you're really coming as a sovereign in your own court. And some of the references to being a Christian are you're really referencing your sovereignty comes from God. In other words, I mean, you could explicitly state it that way if you chose to. There may be people that are not that particularly religious, but they know their sovereignty comes from God, and they could claim that out of Genesis 1. And but you're coming in your own court. A sovereign has their own court. Now, you know, it is just over your life. I mean, you operate out of your court every day when you make decisions and you do this and that and the other. When you practice self-government, you're operating out of your court. So part of that little intro is defining the, you know, your who you are, what your status is, and at what law you're operating under at that given point, you know. In other words,
hey, James,
you could be... Yes, go ahead.
Let me tell him something first. I'm not sure where we got this abatement information in these examples. This is not something that we put together, which is why we're going through this to decipher it and see what are the reasons for certain words, why they have superior court, why certain some things are in lowercase, some things are in uppercase, etc. So just to let y'all know, this is not something that we put together. So we've got to, of course, that's what we're going through is being becoming educated about this process. The website that I believe Linda sent to me that she suggested we look at is utahfreestate.us. /home. And I believe there is a section that in there that says, you have to scroll down. It says Christian law abatements, and it's a list underneath there. And it does have definitions, has some courts, statements on there, what the nature is, the character of the party, etc. So that's, again, utahfreestate.us. And again, scroll down about halfway down the page. I think it says Christian law abatements. Just click on that. Sorry, I didn't mean to hop in there, but I just wanted to make sure this wasn't something that we put together. And so,
let me reference that. This common law procedure booklet that we have was actually created by a group of people out of California way back in the mid-90s that published, and you can find this on the Internet, called The Book of Hundreds. I believe it's downloadable. Now, in there, it was like an introduction to the Jural Society and to the abatement process. And they wrote some of the first abatements that we used back then. Now, this document, the common law procedure, is a refinement from that group. But I think the Book of Hundreds, if you found it on the Internet and downloaded it, would give you a little bit more of an introduction to the whole process. I don't know if somebody might try to find that while we're talking.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up right now. Put the Book of Hundreds in quotes in your search, whether you do it through IxQuick or Google or whatever. And there's one under lawfulpath.com, and it if you click on that, it's a 309-page PDF document that comes up.
And that's the fourth edition with all the updates.
Yes.
All right, now what is this PDF file you sent us? It's number 3. It's got God, how many chapters in it and stuff like that. Is that not what we would want to use too?
Number 3, the examples, let's see, the third example says an abatement of IRS liens and levies. I believe that's what the example 3 was.
No, it's abatement of judicial process, and it's a PDF file with lots of chapters.
Abatement of judicial process. Was that the one I sent with the notice about the call?
Yes.
I guess I missed that one, Chuck. I don't see it.
I think I sent one that was 30 pages.
That was the instructions.
Yeah, the instructions. And then 3 examples. Is that right?
Right. And then 3 others. Yes. That's what I see.
I've got common law procedure on abatement. That's the title page on the, I believe it's the third PDF file.
Oh,
it should say 30 pages, right?
I never counted the pages.
Just up top.
Yeah. Yeah. 30 pages.
Okay. Yeah. Well, this is James was saying. This apparently is from that group in California.
Okay. Well, maybe we should go through that then and. As a group here, or if we want to stay on this subject.
Chuck, I haven't seen that. I have a hard copy of that book from a long time ago. I just remembered it. Does that give you sort of a table of contents to tell what's in it?
Sounds like a pig snorting in the background. Is that over at your house, James?
No, not. We don't rent pigs.
James, yes, it has all kinds of, it has an index.
Okay. Does it sort of, if I remember right, isn't it sort of a teaching book on going through explaining the procedure and the process?
Or yeah.
Well, that's what it says, common law procedure on abatement.
It has the maxims of the law by Boone and Bouvier and the theory of common law and the handbook of common law pleading, and I'm assuming these are excerpts taking out of these because it does label the pages on them, the spirit of the common law, things like that.
Okay. But I'm talking about in the Book of Hundreds. Are you talking about in the Book of Hundreds itself?
That's what I'm looking at. Mm-hmm.
Okay. In other words, somebody's teaching about the elements of the abatement.
Oh yeah, right. It goes in depth, pretty deep. It's got serve it, don't file it, address versus location.
And it does have a table of contents.
Yes.
Okay.
It's 309 pages.
On page 5.
Yeah, and I think it had a section in it on just juror societies and explaining what they are and how to start one and so forth. So if it's still the one I'm thinking about.
Here it has one on older non-statutory abatements and processes and new non-statutory abatements update. And that's located in the Part 3 of the Non-Statutory Abatement Handbook.
Okay.
And then that's all I see as far as the list.
Yeah.
It does give maximums of law abatements.
Right.
Sample abatements are in there.
Let me comment on this way a little bit. I taught on a Thursday night the different ways you can respond to somebody who's making a claim against you. And this is called the honor-dishonor procedure, and maybe this will put this in perspective a little bit. When somebody makes any kind of claim to you, you have four ways you can respond. I'm trying to do this by memory, so forgive me if I'm off here. Some people put five in there. But basically, the first one is to simply accept the claim. Like if somebody says, you get a bill for your electric bill, and you know you owe that, you accept it, and you just pay it. And in that situation, you stay in honor. Now, this has a lot of Christian ramifications about how to deal with conflict resolution. The second way to deal with a claim against you is to accept it with conditions. Now, to accept it with conditions means, like when somebody says, you owe me $500, and you say, well, I'm not sure if that's true or not. I'm not going to deny it, but if you will present me with the proof of claim, in other words, the note I signed, then I'll pay you. So you're accepting with conditions. You're staying in honor in that response as well. Now, before we move on, I'm going to say that category is what an abatement is. Okay, it fits in that arena. So it allows you to answer and stay in honor. The third way is to deny. And basically, to deny is to dishonor yourself, to be in dishonor. And then there's a fourth way, and that is just to be silent and you acquiesce to the claim, which is also you're in dishonor. Now, it's important to understand that as staying in honor. There is another way that's a variation on two I won't get into. I just want to put this in the context. There's only basically four ways you can respond to anything, and an abatement is one way to answer a claim and still stay in honor, which is what we want to do. Now, let me differentiate that from denying, and this is one of the points I touched on. I had a bad habit of when the de facto made a claim on me, I would basically say, I don't owe that. Well, that's, you're in dishonor, and the reason you're in dishonor is because under the common law, you cannot, it's impossible to prove a negative. In other words, if somebody says, you owe me $500, we had a contract. In other words, if I do not have a contract, how can I provide a non-existent contract or show that I don't have something that doesn't exist? That's an impossibility. That's why I'm in dishonor, and that's what I did perpetually. And I had to learn to do number two, which was to accept with conditions, you know, which is the abatement process where I said, you know, in other words, instead of denying I don't have a contract, you turn it around and you say, if you will produce the contract I signed, then I'll pay you the bill, pay you the money I owe you. Okay. And I just want to put that in context. Now, that's what an abatement is, an acceptance with conditions under the common law. So does that sort of put it in a framework which is, you understand a little better where it fits?
I think that's a wonderful explanation. I think we do want to get to the foundation. What does an abatement sit on top of? What gives it its strength? And where is that in the common law? And that's why we're going to go through that example. But I think that was a great description.
Well, do we want to go through that example, or do you want to go through the first part, the common law procedure on abatement, that first document, the instruction page?
Can I get you to make a mental note here that on page 235 of this book, there is a checklist for the non-statutory abatement process. And it looks really informative, and it's things that we have discussed in the past, James, so this looks really good educational.
I'm really impressed if you've already read 234 pages.
I'm skimming through it. I'm a fast reader.
You know, one other thing I might suggest is if somebody has done an abatement and would take it out and share it with everybody and go through it, you know, where you actually, you know, had to work through the procedure and figure these things out. Or if somebody is going through one and needs to get it done, they could offer to be the guinea pig.
So we've done every time we've received something from the Internal Revenue Service, we've turned right around and sent them an abatement in regards to the papers that we've gotten. And this goes all the way back to October of last year. So each time they sent us some new paperwork, we would abate it, and then 30 days later, we would notify them of the default.
Chuck, can you go through how you actually did that? Did you walk over to somebody's house and hand them a piece of paper? What did you do? How did that work?
Well, the paperwork, because in our case, we actually had a sheriff's case number. We had went way back beginning of last year and talked to the sheriff about this issue we were having, so we had a sheriff's case number already. The instructions tell you how to get a case number. If you don't actually have one like that, you would use a registered mail number, or even a number that you would get from listing it in the paper, something like that. But the papers that we received, all the individuals that were listed on that paper, for example, ours was from the U.S. attorneys. And then we had the judge listed on there. We had two U.S. attorneys. We had a revenue officer. We had the clerk of court. Her name was on there. And we had the deputy clerk, which was stamped, or I guess his name was listed also. So we had listed all of those on our Superior Court plea and abatement. It ended up being Charles Edgar Warlick Jr., sui juris, the demandant, against all those individuals. And it's not very long. It's a 7-page document that we sent registered mail to them with a... We went ahead and took the extra step of doing a notary presentment just to, you know, take it out of our hands into a third party so they can't say, you know, deem we sent it or not. And that's pretty much it, sending it by registered mail.
Okay, let's hold on there, Chuck.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, one of the callers earlier that has done the abatement, he's out of state right now, I think, said something about you serve this on individuals, not, I don't know exactly what he meant, but
not the corporation. You're not serving it to the court to be filed in the court, or you're serving it on the individual, like the judge. You list his name there.
Okay, yeah, the judge and the prosecutor.
So each one of them got a copy of this?
Yeah, because it is a common law process, you're not going against a corporate fiction or entity. Yes, each one got a copy.
Let me add to, sometimes being a Christian to your the abatement sort of fits with the mode. It's basically a defensive maneuver. More, it's an answer. It fulfills the requirements the court is looking for. In other words, the court has lodged a complaint against you, and the abatement fits the legal and lawful definition of an answer. But also, one of the mistakes I used to make was if the police officer who gave me the ticket, for instance, seemed to be a nice guy, I didn't really want to attack him, you know, and so I tended to attack the judge, you know, with my abatement rather than the officer who made the complaint in the first place. That was my mistake. I need to be directing it at the officer because they can withdraw the complaint, in other words. The judge is just the independent referee, and when you try to solve the issue with the judge by going in and talking to the judge, he can't talk to you unless the other party is present. So your issue is really with the person bringing the charge against you, which is like the traffic cop. So that's why it has to be directed at the individual, not the cop, but the guy wearing the badge, the human being. And maybe the judge, too. You don't want to leave them out, but you got to keep your focus on who you're talking to.
Okay, so these were delivered by registered mail or not registered, the other kind of mail, to each individual's home or to their place of work or what?
Whatever address you have for them. Mine, the papers that I had just so happened to have all their addresses listed.
Okay, Chuck, maybe this is the time to answer that question. Why would they respond to an abatement just because it fits the definition of something in their process? Or does it actually stop these guys in their tracks because they can't proceed without being in, quote, dishonor or something?
Well, this is an answer. This is an appearance. On your part, but it's hard for them to answer because they have to correct certain things on their papers that you're asking them to correct.
Let me give you an example of that. This is in the de facto realm, so don't try to do this. Let me distinguish this. But this law professor said, if you get a traffic ticket, he said, I don't care if you're in Florida or Alaska or any of the other 48 states. By the time the policeman writes the ticket, he will have created 13 defects at a minimum. He will have violated the law or their code 13 times. Before he finishes writing the ticket, and he tells you exactly what those 13 things are, and they're the same in every state. For instance, number one, a traffic ticket is supposed to have the seal of the court on it. It is supposed to have the signature of the clerk of the court, you know. And the other part of this, that when you think about it, the policeman is also your adversary in a court action, and so by the nature of the conflict, he cannot be the person serving the summons. And a traffic ticket is also a summons.
And the officer is an executive officer, and he's performing the duties of a judicial officer.
Exactly. And he is, and your adversary in a court action cannot, you know, the person delivering the summons has to be an independent third party to the action. So some of those things are just those are the kinds of things that are defects. Now, those are statutory defects, so it's not common law, but I'm just trying to give you an idea so you can put it in context.
Well, if we scroll down here on the papers, it actually says, returned papers contain the following marks of fraud, and then it goes through and lists those marks. Your papers do not have upon their face my full Christian appellation. It's got your papers alleged violations of law, foreign to my venue, which no oath, promise, or law attaches me thereto.
Okay, Chuck, where are you reading?
I'm on page 2 at the bottom. Oh, gosh, I'm sorry. Where is this?
Page 2 of the first example.
Examples, yes.
Yeah.
Actually, it might be page 3.
Okay, this is the section that has mark my words.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
And it lists all the different things in there. Your papers have no foundation in law. Your papers lack jurisdictional facts necessary to place or bring me within your venue. And so on. So it's listing out all those things that they have to answer.
But they'll never be able to answer, respond, or to correct those deficiencies. So your paperwork is superior, and it just works.
Hey, Chuck?
Yes.
On my abatement, Lake City, it's a traffic ticket.
Mm-hmm.
I sent mine in, and we watched to see if they were going to put a warrant out for me, that they didn't put a warrant out for me until 30 days afterwards. And
did you send them the default?
Yeah. No, just the abatement. They waited 30 days to see my next response. And I didn't send the response fast enough to send in my default judgment. And they put a warrant out for me.
We lost track of time.
Busy. So, you know, that's when I called you about the default judgment and how I need to fill it out. We were in the process of filling it out when I got right in the situation where they had to ID me, and then they found I had the warrant from League City. So they took me, that was in Fairlands, they took me to Houston, and then League City cop came over to Houston, picked me up, took me to League City.
James, do you think that's the reason why?
Yeah, because they waited the 30 days that I gave them, and I didn't respond fast enough with the default judgment on them.
Well, I think they're being, they were interpreting that. That does not, if you gave them 30 days, you know, then to respond and they didn't respond, they were just either misunderstanding the process or thinking you should have responded within 30 days. You know, you made your answer. Now the get ball is back in their court, and they're supposed to answer. Mm-hmm. And so what they're doing, and the smaller the court like this, the less likely they are to really understand the mechanics of things. But all those kind of things can happen, and that's what they're relying upon. That's why it's pretty much a defensive maneuver, but we've usually waited another 15 days, you know, give them 45 days to respond further.
Well, they arrested me, took me down to the court, to the jail. I refused to sign anything. And I told him I'm not moving until I talk to the judge or the DA. I'm not saying nothing, and I'm not leaving this place until you provide them with that. And they didn't know what to do with me.
Yeah.
It kind of stunned them, set them back. But after Jen called y'all, told her to go ahead and get me bailed out. Then she came down and paid the warrant and the ticket, and that's where we're sitting right now.
How many days were you in jail?
Oh, a couple hours.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, it was a couple hours, but I told Gina came down to bail me out, and I told him no. Said I wasn't leaving it. Then they went into a panic. Gina can tell you what happened if y'all want to know about what happened during that time. When they came to her, told them to.
The poor officer was so confused. He goes, "Mrs. Johnson, we have a problem." I looked him straight in the eye and I said, "You've already lost him." There's no man, we know where he's at. The problem is he says he ain't leaving. He's going to stay. He won't sign the paperwork to leave. I said, did he sign the paperwork to stay? No, he wouldn't sign that either. We don't know what to do.
That's the problem. If you don't sign their stuff, you're not giving consent, and they don't know how to act.
Well, he had to sign himself in to sign himself out so he could leave.
Oh, wow.
Well, I would have stayed there, but under the advice of getting me out of there, I wouldn't have accepted and let her get me out.
He didn't want to leave. He was going to sit there until they put him out.
All right, well, let's ask this question then. Statement that you did null and void now, is it ineffective and didn't do any good or what?
No, we can still pursue it. It would fall under a different classification now, and not sure how to go about it.
Well, there were one thing that I know Lynn and I discussed. I think there were some things that y'all were talking about. I can't remember what it was, but we sort of determined there were a couple of things that were done wrong on that first abatement and should have been corrected. And so they could have, you know, as these are used more and more, the other side is going to be, they're going to get better at what they do too. So if they see you are doing something here, and this is one of the reasons we want to have a support group. My experience has been if they observe you making mistakes on these things, then they'll determine this is as far as this guy, I think, knows where to go, and if we make the – it's like playing chess. So if we make the next move, we don't think he knows where to go next. And that's what they're sort of looking for. It appears in the procedure that you've blinked and you don't know where you're going. So I can't remember what it was, Lynn. There was something that we were going to do because I remember when you called and talked about it, we said, well, you know, you made that mistake in it to begin with and we didn't get it corrected. So it might be, you know, it's one of those things where you just have to make a choice. Like you can lose your job over it, which you don't want to do, by not getting to work. So
he did lose his job.
Yeah, these things become personal decisions.
He didn't lose the job for going to jail. He lost the job because the girl on the bicycle hit the car. She got the ticket and he got the pink slip.
Sounded like a country song.
Yeah. But it had nothing to do with him going to jail. It all had to do with the guy said that he made a decision to go out the drive, and there was another drive he could have decided to go out of.
One drive, the vision was blocked, and she come around the sign and hit the car.
She was on a bicycle traveling the wrong direction on the road. So she got a ticket for driving on the wrong side of the road on a bicycle.
This is a divided highway, and I was turning with the traffic. She was coming against the traffic. And the regional manager said, well, you knew you didn't have complete view to make your turn. Sitting right there at that deal, you should have gone out the other exit. Now, what's that got to do with it? She's coming down the road the wrong direction. I was looking over my shoulder waiting for the last car to pass so I could pull out. He said, that's all right, you're still gone. Anybody there?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, we didn't leave you.
This is not a good record of success, and I'm concerned about that. We can't afford to make mistakes, right?
Yep, that's why we're having these classes, so people can get some help and assistance in doing these things.
So let's go through the example then and talk about some of these things that are in here. Why are they in here?
All righty.
Chuck, we talked about the first line in there, and I know this isn't yours necessarily, but do we have a paper example of an abatement that the Republic or the state of Texas might use, or we the people might use here in this republic?
Well, I was trying to put one out in my Dropbox folder, but I can't seem to copy the link for everybody to look at. Has anybody used Dropbox before?
Negative here.
Okay.
You got a big silence there.
Now. Can you hear
yeah.
me?
Yes.
Oh, this is Perry. Yeah, I've used it pretty easy.
I'm just trying to make that available for everybody to download. There's two files that I was going to throw out there. One was the plea and abatement for my dad and the summons that they got back in October, and then the 30 days later was the default judgment. Instead of sending it to all the email addresses on this list.
Well, Chuck, I advise, I mean, that's personal stuff. We don't need to see that necessarily, but don't we have a blank form?
Well, those examples are...
If you don't...
Okay. What we're going over right now, the examples are... we can go down through that.
Okay, yeah. I prefer you keep your stuff private if...
You know. Okay.
Yeah, I understand the privacy, but one thing, too, we would like for this to be a forum where... some of the people, if they get in a situation and they don't know what to do and they need help and they need to do an abatement, for instance, it could be something that they of their own choice bring forth, you know, to the group to help them figure out how to fill it out. So it's a choice there, you know, each one needs to make. Not they don't have to share it, but if they need to do that or they need to keep it private, then they need to get some people they can have some confidence in and trust in and, you know, share it. But.
Okay, I'm just recalling your words, James, about wolves in sheep's clothing. So.
Oh, absolutely.
If it doesn't absolutely. Have to be shared, don't share it. You know.
Yeah, I wouldn't, but at the same
now,
time, you know, it's just, sometimes you're up against it, and it's your only choice.
Okay, that's fine with me.
This book, The Book of Hundreds, if you've looked that up, on page 252 in that book, it's got the, looks like almost the exact example that we used for the process. And this is an abatement of traffic ticket, arrest warrant, or court papers. It goes through that whole process of how to do it.
I just found a resource online, if I may offer it up.
Yes.
I'm Mary Ann from Dallas County.
Yes.
And it's exactly answered that. I was just sitting here reading it as y'all were talking, and it seems to speak to a lot of the issues surrounding abatement. And it also talks about honor, dishonor. I never heard it before, but I'm definitely going to read this one because it's on a website, FEDM.org, Sovereign Education and Defense Ministry.
Yeah, that's a very good website.
Would you repeat that?
Sovereign Education and Defense Ministry.
S-E-D-M.
Mm-hmm.
S-E-D-M.org?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. There's more than... I caution you to get on that one. It's in there. I will tell you, that website is geared more for fighting IRS issues and a couple of other, you know, their federal court issues more than typical state issues. There's another website that's sort of a sister website that there's called familyguardian.org. I think you can find it in the links section on that one.
Well, my question is, you know, we keep pulling up all these really incredible websites, and each week we find more and more. Why do we have all the issues we have if there's a lot of people out there that know this stuff?
Would that be called de facto?
Yeah.
I think it'd be labeled de facto.
Why talk about something? Why talk about something that's going to empower us?
Well, it's sort of one of the reasons that if you'll notice, there are tremendous websites out there helping you with the law. There's all kinds of good lawful arguments and excellent ones. And that's why it does come down to law enforcement. The reason they don't work is there's no law enforcement that will back you up. And that's why we have been working toward law enforcement all along. But these procedures can be used effectively to get to the law enforcement arena and knowing how to use them. But most of these things you're talking about are defensive maneuvers, including the abatement. And they're defensive because you've been attacked primarily. So what we're trying to do is teaching you how to defend yourself, but then you may have to take the offensive to finally defend yourself.
All right, James, that's something we discussed earlier, the military conquest on the other side. I mean, they've got a lot of power, and we've got very little. What is the enforcement on this abatement? What is it that makes these guys stop in their tracks? I don't think that's been answered yet.
Well, it's basically personal liability. If they go past it, it makes them personally liable. Their bonds won't cover them, their actions. And so that's what they are concerned about. They do get concerned about personal liability.
Okay, so they personally, as an individual, are concerned about losing their bond or being sued and losing everything they've got or something. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Or just getting a complaint issued against them. You know, that can slow down promotions. It can do lots of different things. I mean, there's a lot of different little maneuvers you can do along the way. You know, I talked to a Justice of the Peace one time, and he was a guy I got to know over and became a friend with over a traffic ticket. And he had, one day he was sitting there and he was telling me somebody had filed a complaint with him, with the state over him, and he was having to answer it. And he said, you know, if I get three of these, you know, then I've got problems. So some of these, there are little bitty nuances to this thing that people could utilize, you know, just filing a complaint with the proper authorities or filing a complaint with the sheriff or filing a complaint with somebody. But we just got to study this, and you got to know what you're doing. I mean, this is not, when I say know what you're doing, this is not rocket science here. Anybody can learn this stuff. And this is really what you have to learn if you're going to practice self-government.
You know, I think we still need to answer the question. What the founding fathers of this country said that religion and morality were the only reason the republic could survive is if the people were religious and moral people. That meant that they had some allegiance to the creator of the heavens and the earth, and that's who they were obeying and following his law. And the same is true here. If we're going to do an abatement, we need the foundation, the authority, the strength of our God to stand on, right? I mean, that's what it says in this title here.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Now, some of these things, and we can get into this more, there are certain documents that create the foundation from which to, for instance, you need a foundation from which to do the abatement. Now, you're signing your Declaration of Sovereign Rights and your jural covenant and your Declaration of Domicile become a foundation from which you can do an abatement. In other words, now most of those three documents, most of them are not, you know, most of them y'all have filed them with us, but they're not at the county level. You know, a lot of people take them and file them at the county level. And then that makes the other party over there, the de facto, liable for those documents. They become part of their record now. There's a second set of documents that you can deal with more in depth. It's the same kinds of subject matter that's in your Declaration of Sovereign Rights, your jural covenant and your Declaration of Domicile, but in this way you're actually dealing with all the adhesion contracts the government has with you. In other words, your Social Security number, your driver's license, your, you know, electricity at your house, your phone company, your cell phone company, you know, your credit card companies. All these become adhesion contracts that compromise your sovereignty in some way. And you can deal with those, and we have some of the paperwork that we can furnish you that you can utilize to do that process. And that sets the foundation so that when you finally do an abatement, you're operating from more of a position of strength. It's not totally necessary, but it's a foundation. And at some point, that's what we need to get into studying, too, on these calls. And but some of those documents are a little bit more personal, and you have to figure out which way you want to go with it's a personal choice.
Yeah, I think that makes my point, Governor. Some of us have signed up as slaves to this de facto corporation, or were made slaves at our birth and are still signed up. What's going to happen when they, you know, they consider us their property and they see an abatement from, you know, somebody like me, you know, are they going to even pay attention?
Yeah, they will, and they do. Although, because I did it in a very exacting manner, and I still had the same response either way. You know, we've got a formidable enemy that we're dealing with, and they are, you know, the strength in what's going on, though, and I think Lynn and Gina can tell you this, is one of the reasons I'm wanting to put this support group together is when we work together for a while, if any of this happens to you and you're in jail like Lynn was, you can't do anything at that point. That's when the people on this support group need to kick into gear, and they can still be producing the documents and hammering them with the documents while somebody else is sitting there incapacitated, you know, where they just can't. They don't have their records, they don't have their computer, they don't have anything to battle with, and that becomes the rationale behind having the people outside, because, you know, then people can take your documents that you've already done, you've already put them in the public record, they can take them to a grand jury, they can get a grand jury convened, and they can meet, and they can then send an order to those people to let you go. That's where we're trying to get this to this point. And that's what we need. But there's a lot of moving parts in this thing.
James, we've got to get to the point where, if you ever tried to sell something you didn't believe in, we've got to get to the point where we believe this is correct. Not only is it godly, but it actually works.
Yeah.
In order to, you know, operate it. So that's why we want to learn as much as we can about how you guys put this together.
Right.
Well, those of us who have utilized this method, we have full faith in this process, and I sleep good at night knowing that my abatement process worked effectively, and I will find out in a couple of weeks when I get back to Texas, but I'm quite certain it worked.
I've had all kinds of things happen. I've had notices sent to me that a warrant has been issued for your arrest. And then in small print, I look down there and it says, or you will not get your driver's license renewed if you do not pay this fine.
They're trying to scare you.
Yeah.
And steer money out of you. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and the reason we're standing on this kind of stuff is all these courts, remember, every one of these courts are for-profit corporations.
Private corporations, yes. And the list of them
are private corporations. And that's where we're really starting to work on these guys. When we did this earlier, we didn't have these situations. Now we can take the judge himself, and in many cases what you'll find is these cops who stop you really don't understand that they are doing this on behalf of a for-profit corporation. And this judge, I mean, there's no honor among thieves. And some of these guys start figuring out, you mean I'm out there risking myself for this guy who's making money off what I do?
Yeah.
There's a lot of different aspects to this. But you're right. You do have to get this down to a... It's not as complicated in the overview as one might think. There's the papers you do, like the DSR, Dual Covenant, and just the things you've normally done to participate with our Dual Society or the sovereigns on the dry land. There's a second group where you, what I call, and I've been trying to get Chaplain Raymond to look at some of the insights I've come up with here over what I call it, and I may have to retract this at some point, but this second phase, when you go through and do all your personal paperwork over your contracts with the de facto state, have to do with there's a term in the common law called trial by record. In other words, you're making the record yourself by doing these documents and filing them and putting them on notice and giving them a chance to respond, and you get a default judgment. It constitutes a trial. Now, there are many different ways to do that. You could do that commercially. You could do it for religious reasons. You can personalize it and customize it in many different ways. But it has to have certain elements, you know, or it's not going to work. That sets up the foundation for you to live your life out there. It puts everybody on notice as to who you are and what your lawful status is. And then the other portions of this are, you know, abatement is just one of these issues about one avenue of what we call conflict resolution. So that's what we're talking about really right here is conflict resolution.
Remedy, yes.
Well, we're coming up on 9 o'clock. We need to discuss what we want to do to prepare for next week. Do we want to take one of these examples and break it down? Do we want to give each other a task of reading it next week, or any suggestions? Or
Chuck, I would suggest you have chapter
Me.
Freeman on at some time, either at the beginning to get things kicked off, or sort of at the end of your study to recap it. And I don't know which would be better. It might be better to study it and have where everybody can then have a fairly good understanding of the things that are easy for them to understand, and then have their questions, you know,
okay,
isolated. So I don't know which you want to do.
Well, I'll try to remember to send an email out to everybody. We've got several things to look at now. The Book of the Hundreds. We've got that Utah Free State web link, which has information about the abatement. And then we have those four documents I sent out yesterday. So we do have a lot of study material. And, yes, we should get Chaplain Raymond on here and hopefully give us a good 20-30-minute lesson on his thoughts about the abatements.
I'm Chuck. Is everybody
yes.
on the call? Are everybody here in this group tonight? Are we all de jure grand jury members? Because if there's people here who are not, I don't think we should dissect the abatement process because of all the agents of disinformation out there or agent provocateurs. You know, we should all be, you know, our member group before we dissect that abatement or any other form that we might be involved in, just to so we don't open ourselves up, you know, to some kind of attack of some kind. Does that make sense?
Yeah, any other thoughts on that, James?
Well, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Linda.
I feel like the information's already out there. It's already out there. Anybody can pull it up. We're not really sabotaging anything we might have to do in the future. I think it doesn't hurt to have a little knowledge of what we have available for us. That's my thought.
I've been listening to you guys for like about almost 3 months now. I haven't officially become a member yet, but I plan on doing that tonight or tomorrow, mailing it out. But I don't think it would be much of a concern as far as, you know, not being an official member of the Republic State.
Well, no, I was just thinking if we were going to, like, dissect each mark on the abatement form, and people might be, I don't know, maybe trying to infiltrate our group and break us up because, you know, some of us might be on some kind of hit list where they may try to get someone to infiltrate the group so they can look for ways to ruin us or attack us in some way.
Well, there's...
kind of a generic type study here. I mean,
yeah.
We decided we weren't going to pull any personal information in on this.
Yeah.
True.
If this abatement process is already in the anti-governmental manual, anti-government manual. I can send you the anti-government manual that they put together, and they put all these different things in there, so they're well aware of them. And
and regardless if it's de facto or common law, it's all basically the same procedures. It's just filed under the our court, you know, versus their court.
Yeah.
Is that not correct?
Yeah. That's a good point, Linda. This is really not an issue with you versus them. It is your court versus their court. And if they won't hear you, then you take it to the grand jury, which is the superior court, to the inferior court. And that's the way we need to think about it. It's a court-to-court battle, really.
And ours is more powerful, I believe.
Absolutely. It's a superior court.
Yeah, I like
Even the de facto will tell you sovereignty resides in the people. That means your court is superior to theirs.
Yeah.
Now, getting people to understand that is hard to understand.
This is Cliff.
Hey, Cliff.
My thought on this is the thing that, well, basically just what the gentleman said earlier, that he hadn't put his signature down yet as far as becoming sovereign, things of that sort, becoming part of the republic, or being a participant, I guess would be a better term. And I think that's one of the things that we need to look at, too, is the fact that this, what we're doing now, for anybody that's listening, is seeing that we, for lack of a better term, are putting our ducks in a row. And that we do have the power. We're just learning what power we have and how to use it. And I think it would be more of a draw of bringing more people into it, realizing that we do have a lot more going for us within this than the de facto. And so I think it would be a drawing card also for those who are toying with the idea of becoming a participant within the republic and hadn't quite made up their mind. They'll see that not only do we have what we need, but we are studying it and we're having classes on it to help us all.
Share.
And that's all.
And speaking of that, that doesn't preclude us getting a little overview and then, you know, having a actual seminar, like a all-day seminar on a Saturday somewhere, you know, where you really sit down and go through these things and deal more in depth with it. So that can always happen, and come out of this group basically, where you get an introduction to the material, and then you could have a face-to-face seminar, which would actually get you, you know, where you can sit there and deal more in depth with the material.
Okay, any other suggestions or thoughts before we close out here?
I had a question in regards to, like, to creating the packet, you know, to send out to the IRS and Social Security Administration. Do you recommend to send them with you as well to get them filed within, you know, the Republic State, or you just send them out like that? Or how did you guys do it?
You can do it a couple of different ways. I mean, you can file them we have a county. The legislature of the Republic State of Texas created a provisional county recorder's office that's at the Secretary of State right now. Now, when your county is settled permanently, all those records will be shifted there. But for the time being, anybody in Texas from any county could basically file with our Secretary of State actually in their county. So, in other words, you could file them in the de jure government. Then you could take a one-page affidavit, you know, showing where all those documents are, where they're listed, the book and page number, and so forth, and file them in the county itself, you know, the de facto county. Or you can just file them in the county as well. Some counties are having trouble. Some people are having trouble getting them filed in their county. So,
What documents are you referring to, Bill?
Anything you want to file.
Well, how do we access the Secretary of State de jure recorder's office? How do we get a hold of that, or where is it at?
That's just at the website. It's on the website. There's an address on our website that, Chuck, do you know how that's
called? The TRSOT?
Yeah, TRSOT.org. You can see the address under the declarations page.
Okay.
Under participant. Yeah.
And there's a fee for it, but it's about a quarter of the cost it would cost you to file it in the de facto, basically.
Okay.
I think it's like $16 for the first page and then $1 a page thereafter. And I think in the de facto, it's like $16 for the first page and then $4 a page after that.
Yeah.
I was wondering if we could use a P.O. box. I'm in between moves, and I wouldn't want anything from this or the state or from you guys to go to my current address, which is soon to be my previous address. Do you know if I can use my P.O. box?
Not for the abatement, you don't want to, but for your regular mail, that's fine.
Like, you know, I'm wanting to sign up, but and I have my packet, you know, it's all filled out and everything. I just haven't put my address because I don't want to put this address because it's soon going to be my old address.
Your field box will work for that, for joining up on the documents to join the grand jury, yeah.
Okay, thanks.
But if you ever do an abatement, if you ever get a speeding ticket or any kind of court appearance and you want to do the abatement, you must use general delivery at your city or whichever city you want general delivery, because you'll be the one that will have to check on that post office to see if you have anything in their general delivery holdout at that post office if you do the abatement process.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Chuck and Bill, I'm over here in Oklahoma, and I got on the website trying to look for the Oklahoma de jure grand jury, and I found their name listed on the RepublicKeepers.com website, but their Oklahoma, I think it was just Oklahoma grand jury thing. It just went to some other website that didn't have nothing to do about grand jury. I was kind of a little disappointed in that. I guess all states don't have a seated de jure grand jury. That's what I'm beginning to think.
Well, a lot of them aren't set up. And Texas seems to be ahead of the game because we've got it set up under what we call our first estate under the We the People. And I guess what National's trying to do is say that the grand juries are under the government structure, so, which is a little odd.
That wouldn't be public knowledge anyway, would it, other than the fact that we have one? I mean, you wouldn't be able to pull that up on the website unless you were on the specific Oklahoma website, correct? Or Texas website.
Well, on our Texas website, under the republicstateoftexas.org or trsot.org, we have the listing of our estates over on the left side. So, you can see under the first estate what the public notices and jury decisions have come out of the first estate. So, but unless you know that's where it is, no, you're not going to be able to just find it. But I'm not sure about Oklahoma.
Yeah, I was trying to hook up with somebody over here, but I can't find anybody.
There isn't anybody.
That's what I'm beginning to think. I need to get my butt back in Texas. I got a couple more weeks.
Yeah,
I'm stuck over here.
Yeah, what are you doing out there?
Well, I work for the post office, and the post office sent me here for 3 weeks for post office training because I elevated my job status there at the post office, so they're training me for 3 weeks on all about electricity.
Well, you're on the wrong side of the Red River.
Yeah.
You're doing missionary work up there among the heathen.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Hey, what's the status on the du jour, I guess, picture IDs or stuff like that?
I wouldn't, until you get law enforcement cooperating, I wouldn't get into the IDs.
They're still going to arrest me.
they don't recognize them, we're turning the corner, I think, with law enforcement and the peace officers, but until we do that, we really need their cooperation on that part. So,
yeah.
Brian, you need to go on the internet under the YouTube and look up the Oklahoma. Let's see, what is it called? Free State of Oklahoma Assembly Meeting.
Oh, okay. I'll check that out.
All this, the people there.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I appreciate that.
About like 11. Inserts there of 30 minutes each.
Okay. I'll check out YouTube. Thank you.
I don't know if you like what you hear.
Well, if he'll overlook Texas part, he might like the rest.
Yeah, until I get back home, that's all I got to do. Yeah.
Where are you at right now, Brian?
I'm in Norman, Oklahoma, and there's a big postal facility here that trains a bunch of postal employees on all aspects of whatever operations that the post office might do, and there's probably about 400 employees over here or more.
Yeah.
But the Marriott Hotel is here too, so they put us up in a hotel, and the school facility is here along with the hotel, so they're feeding us good and training us good too. But
you're gonna have to go on a diet when you come back home.
I think I may have to. Yeah, I may have to.
Okay.
Yeah.
James, I just sent y'all the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, the nullification speech with Thomas Woods, and I only sent it to you and Chuck and Chaplain. So if anybody else is interested in the transcript of that, it's also a YouTube, and that YouTube site is on this transcription. So if anybody's interested in that, I guess I can send it out. Or is that something we want to keep under the belt?
I don't know the answer to that question. But, yeah, it's good information. I liked it.
Okay. Well, it's transcribed. I know Chaplain wanted it, and asked for the transcription of it. So we transcribed it and got it to him. So if anybody else is wanting it, feel free to share it.
Okay. All right, y'all. We've got some homework for next week, and hopefully we'll be able to get Chaplain on here to go over the abatements. Give us a little education on his idea of what it means and what the process involves and all that. Try to get these websites and links out to everybody hopefully tomorrow or maybe later tonight, just so we have it to look at and get ready for next Tuesday. We do have several people or a lot of people on here that are willing to step up and learn this whole self-governing process, and that is encouraging. This is the only way we're going to get it done.
Yeah.
So, anybody want to close?
We're going to meet on Thursday still, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep. Still every Thursday for newbies.
Okay.
Anybody want to close in a prayer tonight? Do we still have people on here?
Chuck, this is Grant.
Hey, Grant.
Yeah, hey. Before you close out, I think I sent. I was talking about this with the governor a little bit, and this would be probably down the road. But I have some material from a couple called Fred and Nina Gutierrez. Now it's pretty much playing in their statutory courts. But I have the material. If you could email me a physical address, I'll send you a DVD with that material, and then maybe you can make sure that Chaplain Raymond and other people get it. But that might be something that we might also want to look at down the road after we get good at this abatement stuff.
I believe when you contacted me last, I put it on your Skype. It's in there.
Oh, it's on my Skype. Okay, very good. Okay, I didn't look at Skype yet. So, but okay, very good.
Well, you're going to say the prayer, right?
All right, I will if you wish. All right. All right, Heavenly Father, we come to you and we want to thank you for your goodness. We want to thank you for your graciousness to us and your mercy to us. And as we look around and we see the situation that we find ourselves in, we're going to rely on that grace and that mercy and beg and plead for that grace and mercy that we might be able to restore what we've lost in this country. And we're going to depend upon you to do it. And we want you to bless each one that's part of this. We want especially for you to be part of this and be part of the leadership of this. And may we look to your word and your principles and your guidance for this and ask that ultimately, whatever happens, that your will be done. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Grant. All right, I'm going to go ahead and turn the recording off and then thanks, everybody, for being here, and look forward to a great call next week. But remember, we do have a homework assignment to read up on all those abatements and look at the, over those websites and stuff. So, all right.